What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Friday, February 28th. Some of you may have thought, oh, he's going to be out the rest of the week, jury duty, because that's what I had on Wednesday. But that's not the case. I am back today. This is my voice. You're hearing it right now, and I'm here for the full hour. Where have I been? Well, I did get excused from jury duty. I did not have to serve on Wednesday. But I ran into something else that kept me out yesterday as well. You know, on this show, I'm always all about
honesty.
So I will tell you exactly why you didn't get to hear my voice yesterday on a Thursday. You always hear the phrase, it's better to be safe than sorry. Well, on Tuesday night, I ate a bunch of beans. You might be thinking, where the heck is this conversation going? Where is he going with this? What is he going to say? I believe because of what I ate on Tuesday night, I started to not feel well Wednesday afternoon. And instead of just thinking, oh, you know, this is heartburn, this is just something that's going to go away, which indeed it was and it did, I decided, let me go to urgent care. Let me just make sure that I'm okay. I got to be here for all of you. I got to be here for my close friends on Instagram. I got a lot of things to do. So let me just be sure. I went to urgent care, told them I had some discomfort in my chest. They took an EKG. They said, we see a little abnormality. We want you to go to the emergency room. And I'm thinking, oh boy, what the heck is this? So I go to the ER. They check me out. They want to do more tests. They want to keep me overnight. The end of the story goes like this. Everything came back normal. Every blood test, everything came back normal. Knock on wood, I am fine. They just wanted to make sure, and I wanted to make sure as well. Because you guys see my lifestyle on Instagram. You hear about it here on the program. I did not even write to my real friends about this. This is the first time I'm seeing anything. So there could be some other close friends of mine that might be like, whoa, you didn't tell me anything about this. And I'm just not the type to go online, oh, you know, I'm here. And then everyone sends you messages like, oh, I hope you feel better. I did not want to deal with any of that. Some people are like that. They'll put a post on Facebook and then you get tons of messages and then you got to respond to all of them. I'm not that type. I'm not here to make people feel bad or, you know, think, oh my gosh, what's going on? I'm not like that. But I'm letting you guys know here on the program, because I did tell you, if you don't hear my voice on Thursday, I told you I was going to be off Wednesday, but if you don't hear me on Thursday, that means I got selected for jury duty and I'm in the middle of a trial. And you didn't hear my voice yesterday because I had to rest up. And I feel fine. My voice is fine. Everything is good. Like I said, all the tests came back normal. There was really nothing wrong. It was the beans. I never eat a big bowl of beans like I did, and they just messed with me. Then I had an orange the next morning. It was just like too much citrus and all of that, even though there's no citrus in the beans that I'm aware of. It was too much at once. So I'm okay. I'm here for you. I got a lot of things to get to this hour, many things to say, but I wanted to first come out of the gate in the hour and let you know why you didn't hear my voice yesterday. It's amazing that it happened the same week where I told you I had jury duty, and if you didn't hear me on Thursday, I was going to be part of a trial. I couldn't come back on here today and be like, oh yeah, happy Friday, and you guys think I'm part of a trial, and I said nothing about it whatsoever. So that's the latest. I'm not looking to get messages. I'm not looking to get emails. Hey, glad you're better. I'm really not looking for that. I'm just letting you guys know why I was not here yesterday. I keep it 100 with all of you. And you guys are a very loyal audience. I've been doing this now. In April will be 17 years. And in all those years, I've never got to talk about a Dolphins playoff win. Oh, my gosh. I have more tennis wins today, just today, than the Dolphins have playoff wins in the last 25 years. It's incredible. I mean, it's much easier for me to get a tennis win than the Dolphins get a playoff win. A lot has to happen. First, the Dolphins need to get in, and then they got to win. Hasn't happened in 25 years. What in the world? I know there's a lot of NFL news out there. You got the combine going on, the underwear Olympics. The real Olympics, that'll be next year, where we'll get to see not just an exhibition with hockey, like we saw with the Four Nations face-off, which was great, but the Olympics playing for that medal, that is going to be huge. But right now, we've got the annual edition of the Underwear Olympics in Indianapolis, and football fans, some of them, go crazy over that. How does it feel to be in the last day of February today? February 28th, not a leap year. Tomorrow, March 1st already. I love March. March is fantastic. March and October, my two favorite months on the sports calendar. March Madness, the NCAA tournament. People love the NCAA tournament. When the NCAA tournament's going on this year, the Miami Open will be going on at Hard Rock Stadium. That's where my attention will be. I will be there as many days as I possibly can. I've already got some seats in the stadium. Now I'm going to get some seats in the grandstand, walk around, have a great time. Lots of things going on in March, the start of baseball season. Of course, football news. We all love hearing that in the month of March, and we'll get closer to the NFL draft. We got the home stretch of the NBA and NHL season, the postseason right around the corner in both of those leagues. Then at Lone Depot Park, we'll have Sandy Alcantara going up against Paul Skeens opening day. Until then, we got spring training. The Marlins, they won't be much of anything this season, but still, I love baseball. It's a great sport. We get 162 games of fun and wagering. We get storylines, too. We get trades. Remember, Peter Bendix, the president of baseball operations for the Miami Marlins, informed everybody the first day of spring training that the Marlins have made the most trades, as if that is a positive thing. If you made the most trades to bring in players, that's fantastic. But if you make the most trades and you're giving away good players, that is not something that you want to highlight. But the Marlins did. So I'm ready for the month of March. We've got less than 12 hours to go until we get to March 1st. January was fun. February has been fun. Let's make March Madness the way it's supposed to be. I got papers in front of me. I got screens in front of me. I got my phone in front of me. I got many things in front of me and many things I want to say, but I can't say anything else until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
All of this talk coming out of the combine, GM speaking, coaches speaking, reports, rumors, the Giants, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford now staying with the Los Angeles Rams. You guys love this stuff. And you know what? I can't blame you. I love this stuff. I love sports drama. I don't like real life drama. I don't deal with any real life drama with women, anything like that. You bring drama to my life, you're out. I just enjoy hanging out with my friends. Girls. And that's it. Having a good time, chilling, relaxing. But when it comes to sports, nothing's better than a sweat. Nothing's better than hearing all of these rumors and reports about what your team might be doing, what another team might be doing, who they're interested in. And a lot of this starts when the NFL Combine begins. And that's what's been going on in Indianapolis. Guys are running 40-yard dashes. It's become a TV show. The high jump, the shuttle run. Oh, who's going to throw during the combine? Who's not going to throw? Who's going to save their throwing for their pro day? Here's what I know. This time of the year in the National Football League, whatever you hear most likely is a lie. I mean, think about what you just heard with Matthew Stafford. Oh, the Raiders or someone else. And then what do you hear around 1:30 this afternoon? Matthew Stafford is staying with the Rams. I mean, it's a clear example from just a couple of hours ago. There's a lot of lying going on. There's a lot of BS being spread around. The teams, the agents, the players, everyone who's talking is lying. Now, some of these lies might come true, but they're all lies. And there's a good reason for it. It's not like they're just lying a lie to... No, there's an active incentive right now to lie. Because you want to throw teams off. If a team is interested in someone, why would you clearly tell everybody the truth? Wouldn't you want to hide that information? Of course. So when you hear more from coaches and GMs and all these interviews come out between now and the NFL draft, just remember it's lying season. Don't make much of anything that's being said. When Mike McDaniel stands up there in Indianapolis and he answers questions, what's the one question that everyone would like to ask Mike or Chris Greer? Who are you drafting in the first round? That's the real question. You think they're ever going to tell anyone who they're drafting? First of all, they don't know because you've got teams in front of you, unless you trade up to the number one pick, and I don't think the Dolphins are doing that, although they should and grab Cam Ward. I think Dolphins fans would love that move, but I don't think that's happening. So they don't know who they're going to draft. They could tell you who they want to draft, which makes it even worse. Hey, who do you want to draft? Why would Chris Greer or Mike McDaniel tell everybody? Why would they tell them the truth? And then every other team in front of them knows and would draft them earlier or make a deal, whatever it may be. So it's all garbage. They talk just to talk. Don't take anything from it. Did anybody predict that the Dolphins were going to draft Chop Robinson? I don't remember that. What this time of the year is good for, especially at the combine, it's not the GMs and the coaches talking and getting info from them. It's far from that. It's the other interviews that are very valuable. The interviews between the team and the player. Because then the team gets a feel for who the player is, what lifestyle that player has. It's like any other job interview. You find out if an individual is a good fit for your company. When it comes to evaluating a player, I think the interview is just as important as what you've already seen on the field. I don't say that to mean, hey, if somebody interviews so well, but they're terrible on the field, we'll still take them because they interviewed so well. No. The number one thing you need to look at is what they can do on the field. Because if they can't do anything on the field, you don't want them on your team, at least as a player. So if they can do great things on the field that you've already seen documented on video or you've seen live right in front of you, it's just as important that they do well when you speak to them in their interview as what they have done on the field. Because if you're great on the field, but you're terrible in the interview, and they don't like your history, your background, who you hang out with, anything to that extent, that could hurt the team. So that part is very important to go along with your accomplishments that have been seen on the field by the organization, including the scouts. You could look at two Canes players. Let's talk about Cam Ward and Xavier Restrepo. The way you evaluate Cam Ward right now, you know how he throws the ball. There's years of video of Cam Ward throwing the ball. You have last season of Cam Ward throwing the ball. And with Restrepo, here's a guy who game after game after game already showed you what he could do. He showed you he can get open. He showed his leadership, his big play ability. Running a 40, doing the shuttle run, that's not going to change anything. It shouldn't. It's stupid if it changes something. I mean, the Raiders are an organization where, oh, they want the best guy in the 40. Other teams, they look at video. They already know what this player can do because it's all over the place. You've seen it yourself. What more can we learn about this player? It comes from the interview. That's where it should come from. Not from a 40-yard dash or a shuttle run. There's something else that I've noticed that's gone on during this combine. And it has nothing to do with the combine itself. But when you have the combine, that's when everybody gets together. It's like a meeting. It's almost like the summer league in the NBA. I've been to Vegas before during the summer league. And when you're at the Wynn and the Encore, where these teams are headquartered, everybody's meeting, everybody's talking, but they're not necessarily talking about what's going on at the summer league. They're talking about other things. And right now there's something else being spoken about regarding the Miami Dolphins. And that's what I want to get to in just a moment. You guys can get to Gulfstream Park. You can do it right now, this weekend. The championship meet is going on at Gulfstream Park. Live racing 5 days a week, Wednesday through Sunday. The championship meet, that means the best of the best. The best horses in the world, the best trainers in the world, the best jockeys in the world, the best of everything in the horse racing world is in Hollandale Beach right now because it's championship meet time. The Florida Derby, that's about a month away. The winner of the Florida Derby will be in the Kentucky Derby. The food options are great at Gulfstream Park. They got the buffet on the weekend in Ten Palms, the trackside restaurant. That's where I love to hang out. You can go to the Carousel Club, a really cool vibe to check out all the racing action. Wager on it. 10 cents, 20 cents. You could win a lot of money on very small bets. I've seen it happen all the time. It's the championship meet. Live racing right now, 5 days a week, Wednesday through Sunday, in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. One of the things that I notice a lot of talk about online, on air, everywhere during this combine has nothing to do with the combine. But again, people get together, reporters, staff members, and everybody starts to talk. And there's a lot of talk right now about Tyreek Hill. I've noticed that people who are close to the Miami Dolphins, they're starting to speak badly about him. More now than they have in the past. when the Dolphins lost that final game and Tyreek blew off some steam by making those comments, I'm pretty sure no one in the organization was happy about it. But hey, Tyreek is a great player. He's one of the key players in the organization. He's a team captain. So what are you going to do? The guy's making huge money. He's still very capable at 32 years old. And if the Miami Dolphins are in win right now mode, you got to keep him. But are they? If the Dolphins want to do, let's say, a soft rebuild, not talking about a full rebuild where the Dolphins win 4 football games, but a soft rebuild. If they're going to do that, I think right now would be the time. And I say that because if you're going to trade Tyreek Hill, right now you're going to get the most value for him. Guys whose games are based off of speed and separation, they do not get more valuable with every season that goes by. Now, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. We get rid of Tyreek Hill. What are we going to do? A Dolphins fan might be thinking that right now. And yeah, if the Dolphins do get rid of Tyreek Hill, you might think that move says we're building for the future, that we don't care about this upcoming season. I don't know that that's necessarily the case, because you look at what Tyreek did last season, you look at the way the Dolphins ran their offense. Now, they may not run the same offense without Tyreek because you're not going to have defenses playing two safeties back. They do that because Tyreek is on the team. But still, if you're not going to use him in the way you really got him for, then don't you, or not don't you have to make a move, but are you not better off making a move? Because, again, you're going to get the most value for him right now. The problem, though, and why this may not happen, of course, there's a big chance it won't happen. We're talking about Tyreek Hill being dealt. It's not some guarantee. It's not 80% he's going to be dealt. It's just been talked about. And not just now. It's been talked about for a little while. But you look at the Dolphins head coach and GM. Both Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, I'm sure they know they're on the hot seat. If you're on the hot seat and you deal Tyreek and you don't believe that move is going to somehow help you immediately, are you not sealing your own fate? That's a possibility. There's a lot of things that need to be looked at here when discussing a Tyreek Hill trade. You'd have to go to Stephen Ross. You got to go to Ross, the boss, and be like, hey, I think for the immediate future of this team over the next 2, 3, 4 years, trading Tyreek right now is a move we need to make. We're going to be better in 2 years and 3 years and even better in 4 years from now. But I'm letting you know that next season we may not do all that well, but I'm making the better move for the next few seasons after that. Maybe you save your job a little bit. Everything needs to be explained to Stephen Ross, if indeed Tyreek Hill is being dealt and Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel think dealing Tyreek is going to make the Dolphins worse next season. You might be saying right now, of course it's going to make the Dolphins worse next season. You might be right. But Tyreek was on the team this year. Tyreek was on the team last year. What have the Dolphins done with Tyreek Hill at wide receiver? He put up big numbers, not this past season. But what did that equate to? The team is not just about Tyreek Hill. There's other things the Miami Dolphins need to worry about. And trust me, it's not just Tyreek. More Dolphins talk coming up in just a moment. I could sit here and talk poker with you as well, but I'm just going to tell you this. The tournaments that are going on right now at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, they're unbelievable. I just had my tournament, the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, this past Tuesday. Again, so many of you showed up. It was cool speaking with some of you who I've never met before. I love how many people are showing up at my poker tournament. And I think next month we're going to have that $40,000 guarantee coming back yet again. But forget about my tournament for a moment. They got tournaments going on right now and this weekend in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. The Escalator Series, hundreds of thousands of dollars in guarantees in these Escalator Series tournaments. Visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's where you're going to find every detail about every tournament going on. Again, SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. You'll get all the information there. You want to head out this weekend, next week, whenever you want. There's tournaments going on all the time. It's a great place to play. And if you've got money on some games, you could watch all these games and matches right there on one of the many screens in the poker room. I mean, it's just amazing how many TVs they got in the poker room. The action is fantastic. It's one of the best places to play cards. It's the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I want to get more into this next conversation when Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10 joins me. What the Miami Dolphins need to do, in my view, and yeah, you can find this at the combine. You could look at the 40 speed. You could look at all that. You could tell a little bit more about the player in an interview, but what they really need to find is an offensive line. Because right now, that O-line, they are not going to be able to protect their most valuable asset in Tua. It may not be who you think should be the most valuable asset, but it is. Tua needs to be protected. It seems like Teron Armstead may retire. We'll see about that. If he doesn't, you know, unfortunately, his health is always a concern. When you look at what this team did last year, they were one-dimensional. They didn't run the ball consistently. They couldn't stretch the field. It was a lot of Jonnu Smith, Devon Achane. They need more of their bigger playmakers doing something, and the only way they're going to do something is with a better offensive line. It all starts with the O-line. I know drafting O-linemen, that's boring. But you know what stinks when your quarterback has to do something within a second and a half? It also stinks when you cannot run the football. You watch some of these other teams and the quarterback gets sacked all of the time because they have no offensive line. O-line is not sexy, but it's necessary. This Dolphins team, they need to get tougher. The coach needs to get tougher. No tardiness. He needs to get tougher. The line needs to get tougher. Both lines. So there's a lot more that needs to be solved than just what are we going to do with Tyreek. Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10. He joins me next. Here on this Friday, Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10 with us on the Andy Slater Show. Clay, I watch a lot of Channel 10, and it still bugs me how one of the promos that runs, they don't say your last name correctly. I mean, you're aware of that, aren't you?
Well, I think it's actually me that's not saying my own last name correctly.
I was wondering about that. Like, who's right?
No,
is it me?
Funny.
Is it Clay?
No, it's definitely spelled like Ferraro. My father is Italian and going back for years Italian, and he pronounces it Ferrero. So I just go by what my Italian father wants to pronounce it. I gotta do good by the family, but you know, at some point down the line, maybe it'll be time to reevaluate that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
literally
the voice,
everybody else, when literally everybody else pronounces it the other way.
The voiceover guy needs to be aware of this. I mean, I've been hearing this for like a year and a half. I'm like, come on, it's got to change. You got to speak up, Clay.
I don't know. I might have some Italian relatives that can pay him a visit, you know, just straighten him out, you know.
So, Clay, what do you think of the combine when it comes to news, when you hear things coming out of there. Do you take anything from it at all?
Not really, no. I think that, you know, what's funny was, you know, you see fans going nuts when they hear, hey, XYZ met with the Miami Dolphins. Like, this player met with the, like, everybody's going to meet with everybody. And I remember a few years ago when the Dolphins drafted with Charles Harris, mm-hmm. and Chris Greer just, like, he was grinning from ear to ear because he had hidden through the whole process that they actually wanted Charles Harris. They didn't interview with him. They didn't talk with him. And even he was shocked. And, you know, maybe in hindsight, there was a reason why they shouldn't have met with him. Didn't turn out so great for a first round pick. But, you know, I think there's so much that comes out as far as, you know, the meetings and stuff like that. I do like to follow the information flow from people that have connections with the scouting community, and, you know, like people like Daniel Jeremiah. And then what are they hearing as far as general stuff about players? So when you hear things like, all right, Shedeur Sanders is, you know, maybe dropping a little bit, that kind of stuff is interesting to me when it's not coming from one team. But when you hear stuff from teams, when you hear that a team is meeting with a player, it just, that kind of stuff just doesn't mean anything to me.
The things that we do hear that get people excited, oh, this team might be interested in this quarterback, are they not, I mean, like, are they not all lies? Like, aren't they better off teams lying about something? Why would they want any information out there?
No, certainly. I agree with that. And I do think, you know, you have to, we just don't know where a lot of these leaks come from. And that's why you take everything with a grain of salt. And, you know, then you also kind of figure out who which reporters, when you hear from them, like, they know where their sources are getting their information, and it's not from the teams. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the thing that always strikes me is, who's saying what? Where is it coming from? And to your point, what's the motivation? Is there a motivation for this leak? And if the motivation screams smokescreen, then yeah, just ignore it. But no, I don't know that. I love the draft. I love everything about it. I think as time has gone on, this part of the process is kind of, it's funny because it's gaining more mainstream attention. But I think, to your point, like, I start to pay less attention to most of the media reports that come out of there now.
Yeah, we just love the NFL and we love news as football fans. We'll take anything. Right, sure. Now, especially the way that Super Bowl went. Again, Clay Ferraro from WPLG Local 10 with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Clay, if you were the Miami Dolphins GM, and some people in the audience might be saying, gosh, I wish he was, what would you be focused on right now at the combine? Like, what would be your plan?
Big men. You know, I just think, look, nobody can say with certainty that they can replicate what the Philadelphia Eagles have done. And yet, look where they build. Look where they build through the draft. They draft large humans and athletic humans that are large, that play well. And I just think there's been too much neglect relative to the offensive line, the defensive line, and just not stockpiling stuff there. It doesn't mean that you just go and you spend a first round pick. You got to find guys deeper too that you also like, because you need the depth. And how many times has it felt like one injury to the line has derailed a season? You know, I mean, my guess is Tron Armstead ends up retiring, but it's felt like, you know, when he gets hurt, he's a great player, but when he inevitably gets hurt, because, you know, that has happened a lot throughout the course of his career, you don't have the depth. And a lot of that happens on the interior line as well. So I think it's simple. I think you go there because at this point you've already locked yourself into Tua. You've already locked yourself into this build. So at least do the best that you can to see if you were right and try to keep him healthy.
You bring up big men. You bring up the Philadelphia Eagles. Are you, Clay, kind of advocating for the tush push?
No, but I do think, like, and I don't like watching it. I don't like anything about it because I'm not an Eagles fan, but I also think the idea of banning it is dumb. Like, don't, if everybody were doing it and succeeding or people were getting hurt, then that would be a different story. But know, they just do it well. I'm not a big fan of banning something because one team just happens to do it extremely well.
But here's another thing about that in all seriousness. Like, if the Miami Dolphins were to get all of these really big men and they were really good, like the Eagles O-line, or you could look at the Buffalo Bills and what they do with Josh Allen, do you think the Dolphins organization, I mean, the fans, sure, we want things, but do you think they would want Tua even doing that?
No, and that's not why I'm advocating for that.
But isn't that also a problem? I mean, when you're thinking about, we don't want our quarterback doing certain things that are actually working, isn't that a problem with who your quarterback is?
Well, you mean as far as that one specific play?
Or running.
I don't know that there are a whole lot of quarterbacks that you really want doing that a lot. I mean, at some point, there's going to be a team that just decides, you know what, we don't really care whether or not you get this first down, but we're going to make sure that we come down hard and you feel the tackle. And, you know, whatever, it's a tough sport. And one of these teams is going to get frustrated. And I don't think in general, unless you've got a quarterback and a system of running that play where it's not only is it automatic, but you're also keeping your quarterback clean and healthy. I just don't know that I'd run it over and over again anyway. Not with there are a handful of quarterbacks that I wouldn't run that with Mahomes. I wouldn't run that with Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't run that with Joe Burrow. So I think it's more that there's a very, very small handful of quarterbacks that you would run that with.
How about running in general, though? I mean, you see what Lamar Jackson does, Jaden Daniels. And I mean, do the Dolphins want Tua to do that? And if they don't, well, then how do you win then? Like, you see what's working in the NFL. So how do you say, okay, we have the right guy?
Well, now we're having two different discussions.
We are.
I don't think Tua is the right guy. I haven't thought that he's the right guy, but they're committed to him, you know? And so I think that if that's the direction you're going, then you have to go that direction. So, let me rephrase that. If that's the direction that you're choosing to go, then you have to do everything possible to see if you're right and I'm wrong.
Clay, what do you think about the push? And even I was talking about it earlier, for Tyreek Hill to get dealt. Like, this would be the time this offseason to send him somewhere else. What do you think about that push?
Organizationally, I'd be all for it. And then you start the reset again, you know, but I think if you're going to do that, then you have to reset top to bottom. You know, I just think, and look, it feels like this has been the same problem with the Dolphins forever, that, you know, other than when Brian Flores was here and they did the tank for Tua season, it just has never felt like, it's always mix and match. It's always like, okay, well, we've got, you know, we want to win now, but, you know, we're not there, but, you know, so we're not going to build for the future of the franchise. So it's just, it always seems like they're in this state of oblivion, like this strange purgatory. And man, I feel for Dolphins fans on that. Me personally, I'd hit the reset button right now, because I don't think it's not like they've established this consistent winning culture where, you know, you're going to lose everything if you hit the reset button. There are some teams that believe, and I think there's some validity to this, that once you start winning, you don't want to tear it down completely because that culture is hard to get back. But I just haven't seen anything with this Dolphins team that screams, yes, winning culture, let's keep it together, let's do everything we can to keep it together, and then maybe we make a run at the end of the season and do something we haven't done before.
But Clay, what kind of reset are you talking about with Tyreek being dealt, if that were to happen? Looking at his previous season, and he didn't do all that much. So, like, when you say reset, I'm used to hearing reset for the Marlins, and we know what that means.
Well,
but what do you think it means for the Dolphins?
Organizational, like tear it down. Tear it down and start over from you know, start rebuilding, like I just said, start rebuilding the lines. See how Tua does and you know, start looking for a quarterback if it doesn't work out. I just don't, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure about Tua. I don't think I think that between the injuries and then also, you know, I just haven't seen the it enough. And when you combine that with the inconsistency of him playing, which I believe has also been a source of frustration for Tyreek, I'm not set enough on Tua that I would be opposed to just ripping off the Band-Aid, starting over, seeing if he could do it with, a supporting cast that is in flux and a state of rebuild. But if not, look at the draft next year. Look at some of the quarterbacks that are coming up and start moving that process forward if it doesn't work out.
Clay, do you know why you haven't seen the It?
Is there a joke coming?
No,
Or
there's really not.
well, it's I think it's more that maybe it's I think Tua can be a very good quarterback when everything around him is clean. I also think you can say that about a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL, and those aren't the quarterbacks that are going to raise the level of your organization. I've always th let me put it, this is the best way I can put it.
Okay.
If I don't have a Lamar Jackson, a Josh Allen, a Patrick Mahomes, a Joe Burrow, one or two others, I'm looking for one. And I don't think Tua is in that category. So I go with what I've got, but I've always got my eye on trying to find the dude. And I haven't seen anything from Tua that makes me think he's in that category and or could be in that category consistently when you factor in injuries and the fact that, he is fairly one-dimensional as a pocket passer. He's not going to get out and run on you.
I was just going to say you haven't seen the It because it's not there.
No,
I mean, and I'm not joking either.
No, that's a much shorter way of saying it. I think he should, and it's hard because I do think he has the it's a different sort of thing we're talking. He has the it factor with teammates when he's out there. But I also think that there have been enough moments in games where he has fallen short, where I think some of these other quarterbacks would have found ways to come through. And by the way, I do think a lot of that is because other quarterbacks have their legs as threats in the modern day NFL, and Tua really does not to that extent.
But hey, they got an A plus and an A on their report
Oh, don't get me
cards.
going on this. Don't get me
I mean
going
that
on this.
look, this is what matters. Players need to be happy and everybody needs to know about it and the lunchroom is clean.
Well, I'll say this. I think there were some A's and A pluses that speak very highly of the Dolphins organization,
Yes.
the ownership, and then I think there's some where it's like, okay, hold on a second. Like at some point, if you love the people that are in charge and supposed to be like keeping you disciplined that much, then maybe there's a reason why. I just think when you look back at some of the comments about, how maybe things haven't been as disciplined, people showing up late, if people are showing up late and you're still getting an A plus for coaching, to me that's a problem. That's an issue.
There's a lot of good people in the organization. They do have some nice facilities, but all people care about is winning, and the
Yes.
Dolphins are not doing that. Clay Ferraro from WPLG Local 10. I appreciate the time on this Friday. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll chat again soon.
Anytime, brother.
All right, take care. Clay Ferraro from WPLG Local 10. You could follow him on social media at Clay WPLG. That's all the time I got for this Friday. Enjoy your weekend. We'll do it again on Monday. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.